We're in Philippians chapter 1, and in about verse number 6, when you look at verse number 6, we find that if you really want to live life, if you want to experience all that life has to offer, we talked about you must grow, and God wants us to grow. For in verse 6, he says, be confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Jesus Christ. So he's doing his part to make us grow. God is working in your life, and he's working in my life through bad times. He's doing good things in your life, and maybe you don't see God working. It seems like it's one problem. You're suffering. You're going through hurts. You're going through trials. But know that God is working. God is using that situation, that terrible thing that you're going through and going that you are in, to grow you, to help you along and become the mature person that he wants you to be all alone. And so when you're going through bad times, you just remember three things that we talked about on last week, that bad times in life causes us to grow tougher. When you're faced with difficulties in life, then you come through them. You come out the other side tougher. But then also bad times helps us to grow more dependent upon God. And so we raise the question, when are you closer to God? When things are bad or when things are going good in your life? Because if it weren't for the bad times in life, I submit that you would not be as close to God as you are now. But also, bad times helps us to grow wiser. Sometimes bad situations, we said, are caused by poor choices. And when we experience something bad in life, we sometimes grow wiser, and we learn how to avoid the bad situations that happens in the future. But then also we said that in Romans 8:28, and that's a good scripture that we to meditate on, that we know that God works all things together for good to them that love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. So God can use the things that we go through, the garbage that you and I may be experiencing, to shape us into the leader and the servant that he wants us to be. But also we know that God uses good times to help us grow. And through those good times, we grow more joyful. We grow more thankful. We thank God each and every day, and we don't take life for granted anymore. We realize that every day that we live is a gift from Almighty God. And so we ought to be joyful. We ought to be thankful, even in the midst of what you and I go through each and every day. So in verse 7, he says, even as it is meet for me to think, and that meet means to feel, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in so much as both in my bonds, because Paul is in prison, he's been chained, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So Paul's thankfulness, Paul's joy, Paul's desire to pray for the Philippians was right. Why? Because they stood beside him in trials for the gospel, and they received the same grace that he did. And so he says again, you are all partakers with me of grace. And he said, I have you. So as a result of that, I have you in my heart. Paul was a man of a great heart, and so he had the Philippians, Christians. They were in his heart. And then in verse 8, he says, now, if you want me to have a witness, I have a witness. And he says in verse 8, for God is my record. God is my witness. How greatly I long after you, all in the bowels of the affection of Jesus Christ. So he could even call God as his witness regarding his deep affection for them. So Paul loved them. Paul was concerned about the church. And so when we get to verse 9, in verse 9 he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So when you look at verse number 9, so we know that God wants us to grow. But here's the question. The second question is, since God wants us to grow, what does he want to grow? Well, that's a good question, because the answer is in verse number 9. Paul wants our love to grow more and more. Paul wants us to love God more and more. But also Paul wants us to love each other more and more. So here is the question that I want you to think about tonight. Do you love God more today than you did yesterday? Do you love people that comes into our assemblies on Sundays, those who sit in the pew? How much do you love them? Do you care enough when members, if they are missing a few Sundays in a row, do you care enough to call them and do it because of the fact that you care? Because when you read God's word, you find that when you trust God, God continue to take care of us each and every day. So Paul wants us, and he wants them to grow in their love. Because why? Love is the essential of a Christian. God is love. God lives within us. Therefore, love is our fruit. Because without love, I'm useless. Without love, it's impossible for me to be a Christian. Why is that? John 13:35. Jesus said something in John 13 and verse 35. He said, people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So we have to love. But then we need to understand next that Paul doesn't just want our love to grow. When you go back and look at verse number 9, Paul also wants our knowledge to grow. And so this sounds similar to what Paul even wrote to the Ephesians. He wrote that around the same time as a letter to the Philippians was written. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 through verse 19. And let's see what he had to say to the church there at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1. He says in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Look at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being lightened. Why? That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Did you see those three things that Paul wants to know more and more about? It's right there. Know your hope. Know your riches. And then know his great power. Because if you know these three things, then you have a better grasp on God. And you won't soon shrink away in your relationship with him. But you will, your relationship will grow stronger each and every day. And so what Paul does, when you go back to Philippians chapter 1, what Paul does then is he gives the reason then he wants us to grow in verse 10. What is the reason, Paul, that you want them to grow? He says, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. In other words, Paul says, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless unto the day of Christ. Now, when I talk about to discern what is best, in life, there are poor choices, good choices, and the best choices. Let me say that again. In life, there are poor choices, good choices, and the best choices. The mature Christian chooses what is best. Not all the time, but more than often, we ought to be choosing what is best. The mature Christian doesn't settle for just the good. And why do we choose the best? We choose the best so we can honor God with the best. That makes sense. We choose the best so that we can offer God with the best. Well, why is that? Because God gives nothing but the best to us, always. And when the world needed a savior, a sacrifice to erase all the sins of the world, did you not know God sent his best? He sent his one and only son. So we need to be giving God our best. We need to be honoring God with our best because he gave us his best. But then there's another reason, God, in verse 10, that Paul wants us to grow. It's so that we may be pure. We may be blameless. And in the King James Version, it says that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Now, have you ever noticed that the best choices in life are the choices that lead to our holiness? And Paul knows that when our love for God grows more and more, and when our knowledge about God grows more and more, that holiness is what will ultimately follow. So in verse 11, he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So in verse 11, when we choose what's best, we bring glory and praise to our Father. That's what it's all about, is bringing honor, glory, and praise to our Father who gave his only begotten Son. He gave us his best. So when you go to verse 12, now, in order to understand verse 12. Because if you just read verse 12 right now, many would not understand, well, why Paul now is talking about the what has happened to him. Well, in order to actually look at verse 12, then what we need to do is that we have to answer a big question that we haven't addressed yet. And that is, now, Paul is the one that's writing this letter. We agree with that. We've talked about that. We know that that he is writing this letter from a prison in Rome. But what we haven't talked about or said is why Paul is in prison. What did he do? Did he murder someone? Did he steal something? So we have to address that to understand verse 12. So he is in prison not because he murdered somebody, not because he stole something, but he is in prison because Paul claimed with all his heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why he's in prison. The bottom line, he's in prison because he says and believes that Jesus is Lord. He has a relationship with Jesus because that's what got him arrested in the first place. Paul, y'all remember, he used to be a Pharisee, a diehard law follower. But you remember, he met Jesus as he was on his way to Damascus. You know, at that time, he was Saul. And so he met Jesus on his way to Damascus. And now Paul is a diehard Jesus follower. So he is following Jesus. And so what we have here is that Paul was in Jerusalem to do some worship in the temple. And while he was there worshiping God, some of his fellow Jewish people saw Paul, and they started to raise a ruckus. And you remember there was a riot that broke out, and they end up arresting Paul. All because the Jewish people proclaim that Paul is a blasphemer. Because Paul believed that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Paul is arrested. And he ends up in Caesarea. And while Paul was in Caesarea, he stands trial before Felix and Festus. And while he is on trial, because Paul was a Roman citizen, Paul requested his case be heard in Rome. So Paul appeals to Caesar to come to Rome. So Paul gets to plead his case in the court in Rome. But here's the problem. The problem is, you know what the people of Rome believe. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. They believe that Caesar is Lord. And you see that around the whole Roman Empire at that point, they believed that Caesar is Lord. So Paul is going to have to stand trial. And Paul is going to have to state his claim that Jesus is Lord. So back in Paul's home country, he is considered a blasphemer of God. And here in Rome, Paul is going to be considered a traitor. Both crimes are punishable by death. And why? Because Paul believes with all his heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the question comes for you to think about, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? And so as we read verse 12, you keep in mind what we just talked about. Because now he says in verse 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, Paul says, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, remember when I said that God is wanting you to grow, and God will cause you to grow in good times and bad times. So Paul is essentially saying, I'm growing. It's unpleasant. It's uncomfortable right now. But God is using this to grow me and his kingdom. And what makes Paul so amazing is that he sees the big picture. The question I want to have you to consider again tonight. How many times do you and I go through a difficult situation in our lives only to complain and grumble about it? Think about it. Not so with Paul. He understands that God is using this situation to bring out some good things for his kingdom. So Paul uses the phrase in verse 12 in the English Standard Version. He says, I want you to know. So Paul uses the phrase. In other words, Paul is referring to something that would not normally be self-evident. What you think would happen, exactly the opposite has happened. You would think when the great leader, Paul, is thrown into prison and can't go out and preach the gospel, that it would hinder the cause of Christ. That is what you think would be true. But Paul is saying, actually, it may not be self-evident, but the opposite has happened. Because of my imprisonment, the gospel is being proclaimed more. Now, and this is amazing. Why is that? Because the people that imprisoned Paul did so because they wanted to hinder the cause of the gospel. But this very thing they did to hinder the gospel is causing advancement to the gospel. So Paul tells us that his difficulties advanced the gospel. So again he says, I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me. In other words, Paul is now talking about his circumstances. Paul says, what happened to me? He's talking about all the difficulties that had come upon him Again, Paul had been in prison in Caesarea. Paul had been taken by ship to Rome as a prisoner. And on the way there, you remember in Acts, there was a great storm. And those in charge of the prisoners were going to kill the prisoners because of the storm. But Paul had a double pearl of death on the way. The ship was wrecked. You remember on the island of Malta. He had a poisonous serpent fastened to his arms. And all of this happened. And he was finally taken to the city of Rome and put in prison, waiting there for trial. And all of these difficulties, and Paul could say that these things served to advance the gospel. The wicked may plot against God, but God can overrule to make that very plan work to bring himself glory. So the obstacle used to hinder the gospel turned out to be the vehicle used to advance the gospel. So he says, what happened unto me has fallen out rather unto the furtherance. When you look at the word furtherance, it means to advance. Advance is a Greek word that refers to something moving forward in spite of obstacles, in spite of dangers, in spite of distractions. It is the noun which means to cut down in advance. It is a verb which is used for cutting away the trees and the undergrowth, removing the barriers which would hinder the progress of an army. So Paul means to say that his imprisonment, his difficulties were like that, which seemed to be a setback, actually served to advance the gospel. They blazed a trail and they made the way for the gospel to be preached. And then we'll be looking at verse 13, because in verse 13, and I might not finish that, but I might get back to it. We'll pick this up next week. He says in verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace in other places. So notice he says, now what happened to me has advanced the gospel so that my bonds in Christ are manifest. So as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace, God, and to everyone else that I am in chain for Christ. So what has happened is that Paul has become familiar with the guards who are keeping watch over him. Oh, it's just interesting. I'll just go back and just continue. You know, just continue to go back and read, because you're going to find some things in not only verse 13 and what's happening in verse 14, because of this gospel being advanced, we're going to find that people they are being more bold to speak the words. But then you're going to find some challenges. Some preaching Christ, but they are doing it in the wrong way. But then some are preaching Christ, and they're doing it in the right way. So we'll pick that up and just continue to read on, and just go back and look back over your notes, or go back online and listen to the lesson, and just really just understand, because this ought to help us to grow. This ought to help us to trust God and to grow more closer to God and to grow more closer to one another. So we're going to be stopping at this time, and we'll be, if anybody have any prayer requests, you can be making that known. Yes.